we see. Job chapter number 2. Amen. We'll all have enough lungs to sing it too. Amen. Amen. I like that. When I think about that song, I think about my early Christian days as a child of God. Think about riding around with Ronnie Wayne and my wife and his wife in that old purple tracker, singing that song, amen, going down to the river. I remember those days, amen. Thank the Lord. I remember them old fellowships we used to have when the church had paneling in it. Old James Lowry and them old boys here, and that song reminds me of them days. That's good stuff. I appreciate that song, brother. Oh, that was good singing, amen. Thank God, amen. Job chapter number 2. Thank God for precious memories. How they linger. Thank God for them. Good memories, amen. Got enough bad ones I'd like to forget. Thank God for good ones. Amen. Job chapter number 2. It is a little late. It's 9:45 already. Just be a little patient with me this morning. I'll try not to keep you alone. I'm going to give you something I believe that could apply to all of our hearts. Probably be easier to preach than it will be to live. Very practical truth. And as I said this morning in Sunday school, I believe we're missing a lot of practical Christianity in our lives. I want to deal with this subject that I believe if all of us to be sensitive to the Lord and get some victory over it, it'll help us in being what we should be for the Lord. Job chapter number 2. Job is a very familiar story here of Job and the trials that he went through in his life. Everything that he lost. From the blessings that he had prior and God giving them back to him in the end. Job chapter 2, look in verse number 7 is where we'll start reading. Job at this time has lost his children. He has lost his possessions. Satan has come forth and touched his flesh. You know, he came before the Lord and said, skin for skin, all will a man give for his life. Bible said in Job chapter 2, in verse 7, so went Satan from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot into his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal and sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. Now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him, they came every one from his own place. He said in verse 11, now when Job's three friends, heard of all this evil that was come upon him. Look in chapter 30 and verse 26 of the same book. Job 30, 26. Job has went through a lot between chapters 1 to chapter 30. He's faced a lot of ridicule, starting with his wife, from his three friends that had come to him after they had heard the evil that had came upon him. Job 30, verse 26, Job said, when I looked for good, then evil came unto me. When I waited for light, there came darkness. When I looked for good, then evil came unto me. When I waited for light, there came darkness. Brother Tim Sellers, would you pray for us? Help us, Lord. Yes, God, have mercy. He said, when I looked for good, then evil came unto me. He said it back in chapter 2, in verse number 11, now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him. I want to preach on this title this morning, When Evil Comes. When Evil Comes. Now, it's no great mystery, it shouldn't be to any of us today, that we live in a world that is full of evil. Amen. Jesus Christ spoke of this present evil world and the wickedness of it. Paul wrote about it. The prophets prophesied about it, and other writers have also spoken about it. We have had our chance to speak about it in our times. It is a very evil world we live in. We will face evil in all sorts and fashions in this life that we live in. We'll face it with our family. Job faced evil with his family when his wife said, hey, why don't you just curse God and die? Hey, you still attain your integrity? I mean, look at everything that's fallen upon you and you still acting like there ain't nothing wrong. Evil came from his family. Jesus said that I come not to send peace but a sword. And a man's adversaries will be those of his own household. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 35 and 36. A mother will be against her daughter, and her husband against his wife, and a wife against her husband, and children against their parents. Amen. There's adversary, and evil comes from all types of directions in our lives. It's sad to say that evil will come from your own family. Evil comes from friends. There'll be friends that'll treat you evilly. Job's example was his three friends that came by his way, sat there, you know, didn't say nothing for a long time. Sometimes when you go around somebody going through troubles, it's hard to even say anything. I kind of would like to think that when Job's friends went down there, that wasn't their intentions to ridicule their friend. It wasn't their intentions to hurt him. They went down there to try to comfort him, the Bible says, but after hanging around a little while, observing what was going on, they started throwing in their own input, and their evil was against Job. Friends will hurt you, amen. Co-workers will throw evil at you. You go to the job and you have to put up with all the hell that goes on, the way they talk and the way they act and the way they ridicule you and throw evil at you. Evil will come. Job said, hey, when I looked for good, then evil came unto me. When I waited for light, there came darkness. It seems like there was no escape from the trouble of his life. We know that evil comes from the world, but even sometimes evil will come from church people. John chapter 3 John talks about that in verse 9 through 12 about the evil of Diotrephes, the one that loveth to have the preeminence. Amen. Evil comes in all types of forms or fashion. Amen. And there's not a person in this place that does not escape from evil coming in their direction. The question is, when evil comes, it's not will it come, it's when it comes, how do we handle it? That's where we struggle in Christianity. And it's amazing to me as I've been reading this week and been looking at other scriptures that the Lord's just been sending this thing across my lap. And so I've been trying to chew on it myself and get what I need out of it. But I want to deliver it to you also. I believe it's something that we all need to learn to deal with in this thing called evil that's coming our way, or maybe evil that you're already in. How do we handle the evil that comes our way? How do you take it when someone comes at you in a vile way? Whether it be your family, whether it be in the church, whether it be some coworker, whether it be somebody out in the world, amen. Maybe it be one of your own friends that comes at you and throws evil at you. How do you handle the evil? What is the biblical way to function when evil comes our way? Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. The Bible has a lot to say about this subject. A lot to say about it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. How do we handle it when it comes? It's coming. We think, you know, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth type mentality. Yeah. You talk about me, I'm going to talk about you. You cuss me, I'll cuss you, you know. You cut my tires, I'll cut yours, you know. You talk about my family, I'll talk about your family. You hurt mine, I'm going to hurt yours. That's the mentality, the natural response in the flesh. But that's not the godly response. And we as God's people, I believe, are really struggling with this thing called evil that's coming our way. I'm not talking about the evil of smoking dope and drinking alcohol and carousing and living like hell and fornication and adultery. I'm talking about the evil that comes our direction, maybe through slander, maybe through hardships. And when it comes our way, how do we react to the evil? How do we respond to the accusations that come our way? God's got a lot to say about it, and I'd have to admit that a lot of times we failed in the way we've handled it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, look in verse number 14. He said, "Now we exhort you, brethren." You see that? "Warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient toward what? All men." How many people do you warn? How many people do we comfort? How much support do we give to the weak? How much patience do we have toward men? Look in verse number 15. "See that none render evil for what?" Do you know how we struggle a lot of times with helping the unruly, or warning them, or comforting the feeble-minded, or supporting the weak, or being patient toward all men? It's because of the way they have done us in the past. Do you know how we won't help somebody because of what they've done to us? Why should I warn the unruly, amen, when they've done wrong to my family? Why should I care about somebody that acts that way? You know why you should care about them? Because God wants you to care about them. Why should I comfort the feeble-minded when they've been speaking to me in such a fashion that I don't like the way I've been treated by them? Why should I be patient toward all men when they have no patience for me? I mean, he leaves that instruction or that exhortation in verse 14. He said, "Now we exhort you," who? Brethren. Now, if you're hearing your loss, we'll hit you somewhere down the message today, but I'm talking about God's people today. You did a blood wash, heaven bound, sealed with the Holy Ghost, comfort of God in your soul. Hey, he exhorts the brethren to warn the unruly, to comfort the feeble-minded, to support the weak, to be patient toward all men. "See that none render evil for evil unto any man." The natural response is to resort to render evil, or to give back, or to pay back what they paid to us. God says, don't do it. He says, "But ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and among all men." Render evil for evil to no man. Look in Romans chapter number 12. A lot of verses on this subject. Let's just lay our eyes on a few and we'll give you some examples. Romans chapter number 12. God made it very clear that we're exhorted to not render evil to eat for evil. Amen. You say, "Preacher, you don't know what they've done to me." I'm just telling you what God said. Yeah. "Well, I don't like the way they treated my family." God said not to render evil to evil.
Right.
I know it's the natural response. I know it is the fleshly response. And it is something that we need to understand. It is a fleshly response. And we are, as God's people, we'll see a little bit later on this subject, that he warns us not to walk in the flesh. If you walk in the flesh, the flesh is going to render evil for evil. I'm going to give them back what they gave me. I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. I'm talking to the brethren. I'm talking to the blood wash. You don't have an excuse to give somebody a piece of your own mind.
Amen.
It's the way the world acts, not God's children. Amen. We're going to be Christ-like. We're not to render evil to evil to any man.
Amen.
Comfort the feeble mind. Comfort the weak. Comfort the feeble mind. Hey, support the unruly. Whatever is worded in there. Hey, be there for them.
Yep.
Romans chapter number 12. Look in verse number 9. "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is what? Evil. Cleave to that which is what?" And what you'll see is those two words intertwined throughout this whole message, good and evil. good and evil. Yeah, evil's been around a long time, man, today, man. Ever since the Garden of Eden, of the tree of knowledge and good and evil, and that Satan's fall and the evil that he brought in this world, and Adam and Eve just fell into that mold and brought evil in, and evil's been around everywhere, amen. Evil is a part of life, but there's also an opportunity to do good. You got the choice in the matter to do evil or to do good. The choice lies to us. God said not to render evil to any man. You don't have the right to give people a piece of your mind. You don't have the right to tell them where to go. Amen. You don't have the right to treat them that way. God's exhorted us not to be in such a way. Amen. So, preacher, I ain't going to let nobody take advantage of me. Well, let's see what he said. Verse number 10. Oh, drop down to verse 17. Recompense to no man. Who? No man. Evil for what? Evil. Provide things honest in the sight of what? Our lives are watched. And we like to throw the verse out really loosely. Judge not that you be not judged. We like to use it in such a fashion to justify our wickedness. Judge not that you be not judged. Don't judge me. When somebody calls you out on something you do, you like to throw that up because, you know, I've got a right to do what I want to do. You don't have a right to do what you want to do. We have a way of twisting the scriptures for our own destruction, amen. Evil's going to come your way. God says recompense, amen. He says not to render evil in 1 Thessalonians. He says not to recompense it, evil to evil, not to pay it back, not to give it back. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Look in verse 18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. He said, your enemy. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with what? Good. Three practical things here I'd like to make known to you this morning in this passage of Scripture. Don't recompense evil for evil. Hey, number one, we need to make much of it, much as effort as we can. Yeah. How much effort do you put in it? I mean, really, how much effort do you really try when it comes to evil? I mean, look in verse number 18. He says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. You know what he said? As much as you can. As much effort as you can. Hey, try not to recompense evil for evil. Hey, put forth a valid effort, amen, not to give somebody a piece of your mind or tell them where to go or treat them the way they've been treating you. Amen. As much as lieth in you. We don't put forth much effort. I mean, we just justify our actions. Amen. They should have never done what they done. They should have never spoke to me that way. They should have never treated my little kid like that. They should have never looked at me that way. So I'm going to tell them where to go. That's not the biblical way. He says as much as lieth to you, we need to make as much effort as we can when it comes to evil to others. Not only should we make as much effort as we can, but number two, you should make room for it. I mean, look at this. Look at verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto what? He said, give place unto wrath. You know, if I'm going to give place unto wrath, I'm going to have to make room for a place of wrath.
Yep.
Hey, look what he said. He said, look at the verse again. He says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. Yeah, you're sitting on your pew, somebody want to sit with you. You know what you got? You got to slide down a little bit tighter. You got to make a place for them to sit with you, right? You got to move, rearrange some things. You know, when it comes to evil that's being put it your way and giving place to wrath, you're going to have to remove some things out of the way. You might have to remove a little bit of pride. I'm going to give place to wrath. There's something in the place of that wrath, and it's my pride, amen, because I'm not going to let anybody talk to me that way. I'm not going to let anybody treat me that way. You might have to give place to your vengeance inside of you. You got to move some stuff out of the way in your life if you're going to give place to wrath. You know, we're not going to move anything out of the way. I'm talking to Christians this morning. I'm talking about how when evil comes, it's coming your way. God says not to recompense, amen. Hey, not to render it back, not to give it back, but we're to make place for wrath. Moving anything out of the way?
Amen.
Self, pride, vengeance, anger, wrath. Hey, there's going to have to be some things moved out of the way of your life if you're going to make place for it. We're not willing to make place. We're willing to kick it out and show what we got in its place. You know what else he says? He said not only make much effort in verse 18. He says not only to make place for it. You know what he says in verse 21 and 22? He said make a meal for it. Look at verse 20. Therefore, if thine enemy hungry, what? Feed him. If he thirsts, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with what? That's the Christianity way. We're not to recompense evil for evil. When we were treated evil, we're supposed to be treating good. Hey, I'm admitting it's not easy, but it's right. If we're going to come to this place of handling the hardships of life and the evil that comes our way and being shining bright as a Christian, we're going to have to deal with this issue of evil coming our way because everybody's faced with it. Everybody's faced with it. Some of it might be in all forms. It might be family. It might be friends. It might be co-workers. It might be church people. Amen. Hey, it's coming in all forms. Sometimes it seems like it's coming in every direction and shooting every way. God says give place. Hey, he said don't render evil for evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. Make a meal for him. Give him something to eat. Give him something to drink. Don't let him go under. Don't let him perish. Get him to God. Amen. That's what he's saying. Look in Luke chapter number 6 what Jesus Christ said to the disciples. We're not to render evil for evil. We're not to recompense evil for evil. When you do it right, you know what? God rewards it. Luke 6 verse 27. Listen to this verse in Proverbs. This is the kind of verse that got the ball rolling on me. Me and my wife was out walking the other day, was reading Proverbs 17. And it said, whoso rewardeth evil for good. Somebody's done you good, but you've done evil. You ever done somebody evil? Listen to what he says. Whoso rewardeth evil for good, evil shall not depart from his house. You ever wondered that maybe some of the evil that's come upon our house is because somebody gave a good to us, but we rewarded evil back to them? I mean, that's what he said. He said, whoso rewardeth evil for good, evil shall not depart from his house. Hey, maybe we need to check our own house. I mean, not all cases, but it wouldn't be a bad idea to check up. I mean, kind of like when the chastening hands of the Lord comes over and judgment starts coming on your life. Hey, one of the good things to do is just slow down and say, hey, God, is this my fault? Is this the chastening hand of the Lord for my disobedience? Is it a trial, a test for learning to help me grow? Whatever it is. Hey, but a good place to start is like, hey, check the account. Search me, O God. See if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the ways of everlasting. See if something's wrong in my life is if it's coming because of my disobedience. He said, whosoever rewardeth evil for good, evil shall not depart from his house. You're bringing the judgment of God upon you. God said, he shall reward. Let God bring vengeance back on those that's treating you wrong. You better be careful trying to bring it on yourself. God might turn it back around and put it back on you. Look in Luke 6, 27. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies. Do good to them which what? Now, I didn't make it up. You read it. Oh, I know. We're so dispensationally correct. That's speaking when Jesus Christ walked on earth and now we enter the Pauline epistles and, you know. You better be careful trying to justify actions in your life. Paul said, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. You need to put forth an effort. Quit trying to justify your actions and your sayings. Look in verse number 28. Bless them that curse you and pray for them which despitefully use you. Now I'm going to remind you, I'm talking to children of God. God's people. And unto him that smiteth thee on one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. You know, we just sung that song, I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. You know what this kind of message is? This is old-time Christianity. This ain't that new age Christianity where everybody's got their rights and everybody can do what they want to do. Come as you are and leave as you came kind of stuff. I mean, old time Christianity is really that where the word of God affects your lives and it's really real to you and you're trying to live it in this world where we're at. We're not throwing it away. We're saying, hey, what has God got to say to me? Verse 32, for if you love them which love you, what thank have you? For sinners also love those that love them. The world does that kind of stuff. The world's good to those that are good to them. But God's people are good to them that are good to them, and they're good to them that are bad to them, because that's Christianity. I know you don't believe it, but just keep following on. Maybe you'll see it, amen. Look. Verse number 33 again. For if you do good to them which do good to you, what think have you? For sinners also do even the same. For if you lend to them of whom ye have hoped to receive, what think have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies. And do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is the kind to the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is what? Merciful. Judge not, verse 37. And ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you, what? Again. The rendering in the book of Galatians is, you reap what you sow. Same principle. Render. Look in Genesis chapter number 50. Let me give you a couple examples and maybe to make a little more sense to you. We usually learn a little better from seeing it in somebody else's lives. We'll see it in the life of this man. You know him, Joseph. But you know, Joseph is the greatest type of Jesus Christ in the Bible. And I say that for a reason in what we're dealing with in rendering evil for evil. If anybody was ever done wrong without a cause, if anybody was ever rendered evil from family, friends, God's people, co-workers, if anybody was ever dealt a bad hand of evil his direction, it was Joseph. I mean, all the boy did was love the Lord and had a dream from God. God was going to do great things with him. And everybody hated him for his desire to serve the Lord and excitement about God. But you know what about Joseph, what made Joseph so great? He did not allow the evil that was dealt to him run his life. That's where we miss it. We allow the evil that is dealt to us to run our lives and dictate what we do. I mean, you take Joseph, went out to obey his father's command, went down there to check on his brother. They seen him coming. Here come the dreamer. Genesis 37, when it started going in a downhill direction. He's out there. We in Genesis 50. Hold your place right there. He went out there to check on his brother, and they said, here he comes. Let's take him and kill him. Let's do away with him. One of his brothers said, no, let's don't do that. That won't be right. Let's sell him. Let's dig a pit and put him in a pit. You know what they did? They threw him in a pit. No water. Down the bottom of the pit. Rendering evil. All he tried to do was good. Do you know, you read that story over there, and I read it again just to see. You know, Joseph never opened his mouth. Now, you say he might have did. Well, he might have did, but it's not recorded in the Bible that he did. Kind of like our Lord Jesus Christ. He opened not his mouth. He didn't render evil for evil. He showed us the way to handle evil coming our way. And he showed it through his life. But he said, you know what? You might not believe it just in my life because I am God manifest in the flesh. But he showed us in Joseph's life. Just a boy trying to serve God. Just a boy that knew the Lord. And his own family rendered evil to him. Threw him down the pit. They thought we'd kill him. One of his brethren kind of had a little bit of mercy on him. Didn't like him to be going through that much trouble. And said, the Midianites coming that direction. Said, we'll just sell him out as a slave. And they pull him up out of the pit. Sell him as a slave. The Midianites take him down there to town. Sell him as a slave out on the block to Potiphar. All he's known is his father's house and serving God. Now here comes all the hell in his life. When I do good, evil came. You know, it just seemed like it's just falling out the sky. And what have I done to deserve it? All I've tried to do is walk with God, you know. And you get to mumbling, complaining maybe. He goes down to the Potiphar's house and you think, well, maybe I get a little bit of relief. A little bit of grace is coming out of it, you know. He's put me in charge of his house and he's not afraid of anything. I got him in control of everything down there. Even though I'm a slave, you know, God's still good to me. And then here comes Potiphar's wife. Trying to lay with him, force him to do something he didn't want to do. And he done all he could to finally he fled away from her, left his jacket behind. And when her husband came home, she made accusations that he tried to lay with her and force her and do things that were ungodly. And Potiphar put him down in the prison. Evil coming. All he's trying to do is good, man. Here he is down in the pit. Now he's down in Potiphar's house. Now he's down in the prison. And he's down there. And God shows mercy again. I mean, even in the prison, God showed mercy. You know, a lot of times we can't see the mercy of God being shown in our lives because we're too busy looking at all the evil. We're letting the evil blind our eyes of how good God still is to us despite everything that's coming our way. It's coming our direction. It's falling out of the sky and everywhere. But Joseph kept his mind and heart on God, not on his evil. Amen. Well, everybody's treating me bad. You don't know how they talking to me. I ain't never going back down to church down there if somebody treated me like that. Is that how much you're going to take? I'm glad our Lord wasn't like that. Amen. He said it was coming. Here he is over there in the prison house, and God shows mercy again. And the butler and who was it? The butler and the baker came down. They had dreams of what was going to happen to them, and Joseph interpreted their dreams. And one of them was going to be killed. The other was going to serve back juice to Pharaoh. And he went up. And he said, Joseph said, "Hey, when you get out, don't forget about me." He got out and forgot all about him. Here's the thing about Joseph. You never find Joseph allowing the evil that came to him to affect and change his mentality and mindset for God. Amen. He kept on plowing. He kept on plugging. He kept on going forward. And for long, God put him in the palace, made him second in command to Pharaoh. Amen. Why? Because he kept his eyes on God. Hey, God was merciful to him despite all the evil that came to his way from his friends and family and foe. Amen. And co-workers and everybody in the place that was shooting at him. He never rendered evil for evil. Amen. Genesis chapter number 50. Hey, Joseph's brothers has came down by a couple of times by now. Joseph's revealed himself to his brother that it's he. He sent him down there to get his father and bring his father up. And his father comes up to see him and his father gets relieved in his old age and he dies. And Joseph's brother said, "We in for it now." Guilty conscience. Why? Because all they've done is render evil for evil. All they've done is dished it out, you know. Not being the kind of Christian that they ought to be. They're to kind of just lay it out on everybody. Give them a piece of their mind. Do what's ever good for me. It's kind of people in a family when you have a funeral and they come in there and mom and daddy's laying in the casket and the one that's trying to rip them out of the casket, most of the time the one that never was there for them and never took care of them, and they got a guilty conscience. And their conscience is telling on them. They're guilty for what they've done against Joseph. And they came and said, "Man, he's going to kill us now." I want you to see this has been the mindset of Joseph his whole life. Look in Genesis 50, verse number 20. Verse number 19, and Joseph said unto them, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God?" What did God say? "Vengeance is mine, I shall repay, saith the Lord." Joseph said, "Am I in the place of God? Am I going to kill you? That's not my place. It's not my place to give you what you deserve." That's where we miss it. We think it's our place to stand in the stead of God to give evil back for evil. Look, verse number 20. "But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive." Joseph saw the bigger picture. Joseph had faith in God. You know what Joseph realized? All things work together for the good of them that love God. That's a hard verse to get a hold of, ain't it? All things work together for the good of them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. He said, "You meant it into evil, but God meant it into good." God knew exactly what He was doing when He put me in that pit. God knew exactly what He was doing when He sold me into Pharaoh's house. God knew exactly what He was doing when that woman lied on me and put me down that jailhouse. God knew exactly what He was doing when He sent the butler and the chef down there. God knew exactly what He was doing when He put me in command in Pharaoh. Hey, God knew exactly what He was doing all of my life. When evil was coming my way, God still had control in my life, and He did not let the evil change His life. Our problem is we let the evil dictate how we live. That's not Christianity. That's not God's way. What about David? I mean, Joseph's greatest type of Christ. David was the man, a man after God's own heart. Look in 1 Samuel 24. 1 Samuel 24. What about David? Do you remember David? Boy, you're talking about a man that got done wrong. I mean, God anointed him to be king. 1 Samuel 24, you turn there. God anointed him to be king. Here he is, king. God's already rejected Saul. David's anointed king, and David's still in subjection to Saul. Humility. Goes out there and fights the giant. Y'all kids remember when David fought the giant? Goliath killed him. Came out victorious. Saul, they started singing. Saul has killed his thousands. David his 10,000s. A little bit of hatred towards Saul, David got in Saul's heart, and Saul started dealing out evil to him, trying to kill him several times, to the point where it got so bad that David had to flee for his life, fleeing in caves and in dungeons. Saul's hand was after him, rendering evil to him, and not a time did David ever render evil back to Saul. I mean, you're 1 Samuel 24. David's over here in a cave. He's hid up from Saul. God made a way for David to go down and kill Saul. He could have slew him. He could have cut his head off. He could have destroyed his arch enemy easily. God had laid him in his hand. You read the whole thing. David went down there, cut his skirt, and the Bible said that God smote his heart, and he had touched the Lord's anointed. This man, you talking about this man God never rejected. David said, "It's not my place to render evil to him." I mean, you're talking about how evil Saul was to him. You could go a little bit past where we're at right here. You remember when Saul eventually died, and then boys brought report back that they had killed him, thinking that he was going to get on David's good side? David killed them. David said, "We're not in place to bring judgment. Why do we get in the mentality that we're in the place of God to put judgment on somebody? Because they've hurt us." Problem is, our Christianity is too much about us instead of about Him. That's old-time Christianity. Did I tell you don't have a right to give a person to your peace of mind? You don't have a right to give somebody evil for doing you evil. 1 Samuel 24, look at David said here in verse 17. Verse 16, "And it came to pass when David had made an end of speaking these words unto Saul, that Saul said, Is this thy voice, my son David? And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. And he said to David, Thou art more righteous than I, for thou hast rewarded me good, whereas I have rewarded thee evil." That's what he did. How can we as God's people get to the place we're like this? I mean, it's very clear in the Scriptures, this is what God expects out of our lives. But how in the world can we get to the place that this is a reality in our lives? Well, Christ is really shown in us in the midst of our evil. Nobody said it was evil, but look, let me give you a few things and we'll close. Look in Jeremiah 13. Jeremiah 13, quickly. Not popular, but needed. If we're going to be effective in the world, in the community, and on our jobs, and in our own families, we've got to deal with this thing called evil. Nobody's exempt from it. Some of you might feel like the truckload's dumped on you all the time, and maybe so. But God has an answer for it. You know what you need, first of all? You need to change. Now, one sense of this change is, this is where we hit you that don't know the Lord. You need to be born again. Amen. There's got to be a seed inside of you with that kind of lifestyle. You ain't going to do that on your own. Right. Amen. What I'm preaching today is not something you're going to do without God in you. There's a lot of things you can fake in Christianity. This is probably one that's very hard to fake. It's even hard for people that's got God to do it. Amen. Jeremiah 13, look in verse number 23. Can an Ethiopian change his skin or a leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do what? Is it possible? It's not possible. It's not possible for an Ethiopian to change his skin. It's not possible for a leopard to change his spots. And it's not possible for you to do good that are accustomed to doing evil unless God makes a change. There's got to be a change. Hey, let me just say, you that don't know the Lord, you need to be born again. You can just not start going to church and doing right and go to heaven. God's got to put a new birth inside of you. It's a work of Almighty God. Yeah. Got to be a change. Let me show you this. Romans 7. There's got to be, after a change, there's got to be a commitment. Romans 7. Oh, you say, I've got to change, preacher. God's changed me. Well, if you got to change, you better get a commitment. It'd be a dedication. Paul said, Romans 7, verse 18. Are you there? Look. For I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. Your flesh says, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Your flesh says, you cuss me, I'm cussing you. Your flesh says, you mess with my family, I'm messing with yours. That's what it says. It's a natural response. Retaliate. Give back to what you're getting. He says, verse 19, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. For if I do that, I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find in a law that when I would do good, evil, there it is, is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Do you know what there's got to be? There's got to be a commitment. To not render evil for evil, you're going to have to delight in the law of God in the inward man, because that's what the law of God says do. The law of God says make place for wrath. Amen. Hey, get, vengeance is the Lord. He shall repay. Hey, you got to delight in the law of God. You got to find out this book is my life and this is the way to do it despite what my flesh wants to do. There's got to be a change and there's got to be a commitment. Amen. You know what it'll do when you got it right? It brings a good conscience. You mean God's people's walking around with a filthy conscience? You can't look people in the eye. You can't face them because you know you ain't done what you should do as a child of God. Look at this in 1 Peter chapter 3. Quickly. When evil comes, it's coming. It's coming. 1 Peter 3. When you got a change and a commitment, it brings a good conscience. Hebrews, James, 1 Peter, right? 1 Peter 3, verse 8. Finally. Somebody say amen right there. Be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye thereunto, that ye are thereunto what? Called, that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Easier read than done, ain't it? It's God's word. Verse 11, let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. You ain't going through it alone. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Do you know when we render evil for evil, we're going against God. God's against them that do evil. Verse 13, and who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. Be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. That's a lifestyle. For it is better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Look at this in closing in Deuteronomy 30, and I'll stop here. You know, we get the mentality sometimes, and I know there are certain Christians that abuse other people and take advantage of them, which ain't godly. It ain't godly at all to abuse and take advantage of anybody. Taking advantage of some people's goodness. But you know, sometimes we take this mentality. I take this mentality. When I see another believer being abused, which is not right, taken advantage of, because they're just good-hearted people. You know people like that? There are very few and far between good-hearted people. I take the mentality that, you know, they're just too good-hearted. They shouldn't let people take advantage of them. And they shouldn't. There's a certain limit where everything goes. But you know what? If I was to err and err the right way, it'd be better to be like them than it is like me. Be better to have a good heart. You know what? You might be able to say a lot of things about them, but you can't say they ain't got a good heart. You might accuse them of a lot of things, but you're not going to accuse them of not trying to help somebody else. That's Christianity. That's what God did. That's what Joseph did. That's what David did. Why can't we do it? Deuteronomy 30, verse 14. But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. It reminds me of Romans 10:8. What saith the word is nigh thee, even in thy heart, in thy, you know. Look. Verse 15. See, I've set before thee this day life and good, and death and what? Evil. They're both there. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, and his statutes, and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. We know he's speaking of Israel and that land, but what an application with what we're dealing with. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce you this day that ye shall surely perish. and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land, whether thou passest over Jordan to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. That thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give it, to give them. When evil comes, when it comes, what are we going to do? The choice is ours. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Maybe you need to do some business with the Lord.